So Nehemiah 13, verse number 15, the Bible says there, "In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading donkeys, as also wine, grapes, figs, and brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that they should not, that they should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gate to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these guys being here today. I thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. I thank you for your word, that it's true, that we can count on it, Lord, that we never have to worry about it changing or diminishing in value. Lord, I pray you would please bless our time today. Please give me the right words and thoughts and spirit. I pray you would take control, take over right now, Lord. God, that you would be a blessing to these guys. I want to be a blessing, but truly I can't be, Lord, but you can be through me. And God, you can speak from your word to our hearts, Lord, and change us to be more like you. And that's what we want, Lord. That's what we need. That's what we crave. We pray that you would just do your work through your word today. And God, make us to be more like you. Help us to hear your voice through the preaching. And Lord, bless these guys. Help us to love you more as a result. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you guys for standing. So guys, in the book of Nehemiah, we usually are dealing with kind of the first half of it. And what is the book of Nehemiah all about? Those of you that know, what is it really dealing with?
Him rebuilding the walls.
He was a cupbearer in Persia, some 500 miles away, okay, in a different kingdom. His job was to taste the food and the drink of the king. So if anybody was trying to poison the king, Nehemiah was going to get it first, all right? But that's a tough job to have. But he did that, and he served the king well. But guys, there came an occasion where a guy came back. One of his brothers came back from seeing Jerusalem, and Nehemiah asked him about it. He says, "What's going on there? What is it like? What is the condition of the people?" Guys, it was a terrible report that this guy had to share with him. He's saying, "It's awful. It's a mess. The walls are broken down. The gates are destroyed. The houses are just rubble." He's saying, "It's terrible." Guys, get this. Nehemiah is a prominent figure in that society. He's got a nice job, probably a nice paying job. He's next to the king all the time. He's got some influence, some prestige, right? Ethan, he's got his life pretty set up, we would say. But you know what happened, guys? When he heard that report about his homeland, a burden rested on the heart of Nehemiah. Listen, he's saying, "I got to do something." Hey, guys. Do we ever see people out in the world that are lost without Jesus Christ on their way to hell? Do we ever see those guys out there that are drunk and slobbering around and their families destroyed? Do you ever see people your age that know nothing about Jesus Christ? They've never heard the Bible preached in their entire lives. They're on their way to hell, but yet they're caught up in the rap and the rock and the drugs and the tattoos and the porn and the TikTok and all the foolish things of this world. Do you ever get a burden? Do you ever look at them and say, "I got to do something"? You say, "Well, I don't know what to do. I can't get up and preach to hundreds of people. I can't make a huge impact." Hey, maybe neither can I, but can you make a small impact? Listen, it'll make a world of difference for that person. Yeah. It may not affect thousands, millions, a huge amount of people, but it'll make a huge impact on that one person.
Yeah.
And who knows, guys, God could use you to change that family, to bring that family to church. Kevin, it makes me think, man, God does amazing things, sometimes in very small ways. And I just think years back in this church that because of their friends inviting them, your sisters start coming to this church.
Mm-hmm.
My life has been hugely impacted, obviously. But I really think, listen, we wouldn't have your mom, your dad, your family here. How did all that start? Two little girls coming to Sunday school.
Yeah.
And look at what God has done. Now they're helping out in these classes. Kevin's helping out in here, and he's a good young man most of the time. No, I'm kidding. I had to mess with him a little bit. And you have Brother Carlos and Ms. Delmi doing all kinds of things around here. Look at what God has done, but it starts so small sometimes. Listen, guys, don't worry about where things are going to end up. You just obey God. The next step, the next opportunity you have, obey God. And you never know what God can do with it. Listen. I'm sure it looked pretty insignificant when a kid brought 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus.
Yeah.
What did the disciples say? What is this going to do?
Hmm.
What is this among so many? I mean, right. Lord, our need is way out here, and this is the supplies we got. Like, stop. You know, don't even try. This is embarrassing is probably what they're thinking. You know what? God used a little, and he supplied for everybody.
Hmm.
Maybe he can use a little out of your life and do great things from it. Hey, don't worry about getting a big name for yourself. Just do what the Lord wants you to do. And if he does something big time, the glory is his.
Amen.
Nehemiah gets a burden. And guys, we know God blessed. He goes back after he gets this burden. He goes back and the people get a mind to work. And they start rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem to get protection for their land. Guys, they accomplished this project in 52 days. Kevin, they didn't have cranes. They didn't have Lowe's and Home Depot down the street. They didn't have the church credit card. They didn't have any of that stuff. Listen, they didn't have some expense account. Listen, guys, they had very meager means, but you know what? They got to work, and God blessed it. And you know, when their enemies who were after them the whole time and harassed them the whole time saw what happened, you know what they said? God must have done that, and they were right.
Amen.
The glory didn't go to them, it went to God. But they finished the walls in 52 days. But guys, that's in chapter 6 where they finished the walls. You may have noticed, that's not where the book of Nehemiah ends. There's more to it. What is the rest of it about? Well, Nehemiah wasn't just interested in getting the walls done, guys. Listen up. He was trying to get the spiritual life of the people back where it needed to be. Okay? And he was also trying to get the interior of the city done and get things back on track as a nation because they were well off track. So the work is furthered along. And he, chapter 8, they have a service where they're reading the Word of God, explaining it, and people are getting right with God. Things are happening. They make commitments to the Lord in chapter 10 and a lot of things we could talk about. What I did not know until recently, though, guys, is this. Pay attention, please. So Nehemiah, he leaves from Persia. Like you said, he's a cupbearer. He comes, and he has this project to accomplish, and then he's got other work to do, like we're talking about. From what I've understood, guys, he was there for about 12 years. Okay? So all this work getting accomplished and all this stuff, getting the nation back on its feet, took about 12 years. Now, we're in chapter 13, right? Check out verse number 6. Earlier on in the chapter, he says, "But in all this time was I not at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king." What that's saying is this, guys. He was there for 12 years, by my calculations, and he's saying in that verse, I needed to go back to Persia for a certain amount of time. We don't know. I was reading some people, they think it could be months. Some people think it could be as much as like 10, 12 years. I don't know. I really don't know. But the point is this. He had to go back to Persia for a while. He wasn't at Jerusalem. He set some other guys up in place, and he had some other people taking care of responsibilities. Now, guys, while he was withdrawn for a time from Jerusalem, he departed. When he came back, guess what happened? Nothing good. Okay? Nothing good happened. And there are a lot of examples in chapter 13 that I won't get into. We'll just deal with one today. But you know what he discovers, guys? He discovers that things are in a mess again. No. The walls are still in place. I think most of the houses are still in place. But guys, spiritually, it was not in a good place. These people had departed from the Lord. Things that should have been priorities were not.
Yeah.
Things that shouldn't have any place in their life, sinful, wicked things, took the priority, the precedence in their life. Nehemiah comes back and sees all this, and he's saying, "What are we doing?" He's freaking out about this. He discovers all this, that the nation's in disarray. And guys, he deals with it. But listen, he doesn't want a quick fix. He wants to get things back on track and have them stay on track, right? So we're going to deal with our main passage here, verse 15. Let's dive in here. Verse number 15, he says, "In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves, lading donkeys, also wine, grapes, figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought in Jerusalem on the Sabbath." That keeps being repeated. "I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein which brought fish, all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. He continues on. Guys, we'll deal with this a little more extensively in a few moments. But they were violating some commands that God had given them and some commitments that they had made to God. They had just blatantly violated these things. And it says in the beginning of verse number 15, he saw this. He shows back up into the city and he sees what's going on and he's like, huh? I cannot believe what's happening with my nation. What are we doing? And guys, he deals with it through the rest of this passage here. So these people were doing some things that shouldn't be happening. And he makes some decisions to get it taken care of, guys. And then verse number 20, which I want to dive in on, and then we'll get to the message. He says, so the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Guys, he had made a decision to cut this thing off. But you know what? The people didn't go away that easily. You listening? The people didn't go away that easily. Okay? The people that were helping Israel get off track and helping them get defiled, the people that were influencing them in a negative way, Kevin, the first time that he said, no, we're not doing this anymore. We're not buying. We're not selling. We're not doing these things on the Sabbath day anymore. Those people didn't leave. It says they came back. They came back and they lodged outside the walls of Jerusalem. They're hanging around. They're hanging around. And guys, that's what I want to preach on today. And I hope it'll make sense as we go. Hanging outside the gate. Listen, guys, most of this class was at another church last week and you guys had a great trip. All the accounts that I hear went great. And I think a lot of guys made decisions, and that's awesome. And I'm glad you did, and I'm proud of you for that. But, guys, can I remind you? The devil's not done with you.
Yeah. Right.
Just because you made a decision for God last week does not mean the devil says, oh, okay, I can't mess with him anymore. That's not the case. You know what he's doing? He's hanging outside the gate. He's waiting for his opportunity to come back at you. And, guys, I want you to be ready for it. Because you know what we don't want? We don't want you to take that trip and have a great time, and then 2 weeks later, all those decisions are out the window.
Oh, no.
We don't want it that you say, man, I got my music right, or I got my attitude right, or I'm treating my parents better, or I'm going to be faithful to church, or I'm going to read my Bible. And you made these great decisions, and then 2 weeks later, it's all gone.
Wow.
You forgot about all of it. I don't want that to happen, and I don't want the devil to get victory over your lives again. So how do we overcome this? Well, let's dive into the message. Hanging outside the gate. Because, guys, that's what the devil is doing. He's lurking, and he wants to pull you back into the same stuff that you were in before.
Yeah.
Hanging outside the gate. Point number one, the familiar disobedience. The familiar disobedience. Guys, what I'm saying by that is this. They had been allowing wicked things in their life for so long, Bruce, that you know what? They got used to it. It wasn't an issue anymore. It wasn't a problem. No one even got worried about it anymore. Nobody was getting sweaty and uncomfortable and feeling awkward when they were disobeying God anymore. It became the normal thing.
Yeah.
So the familiar disobedience. I read these verses already, but basically let me explain these. Verses 15, 16, and so forth. Guys, the Sabbath day, we dealt with a little bit of it last week. But the Sabbath day was a day, the Saturday for the Jewish people. And by the way, Exodus 31 tells us that this is only for the Jews. We don't have to keep it. Okay. We worship on Sunday. We know that because Jesus rose from the dead. Guys, the Sabbath day was a day that was supposed to be a special day, a sacred day, a day that was set apart. The rest of the week, they would work. They would do what they needed to do. But the Sabbath day was supposed to be special. You weren't supposed to do your normal routine. You weren't supposed to go to work. You weren't supposed to do these things that you would normally do. Why? It was supposed to be set aside for God. You were supposed to rest physically, but you were supposed to focus on God. Okay? And all that he's done for us and be thankful to him as a result of it. That's what it was about, guys. But these people in verse number 15, they're doing some things that they should not be doing on the Sabbath day. Verse 15, they're treading their wine presses. That would be, they would be making wine from the grapes on the Sabbath, it says. They're bringing in their sheaves. They're going out to their fields. They're pulling in the harvest on the Sabbath day. They're loading up donkeys with supplies. They're getting wine, grapes, figs, all manner of burdens which they brought in Jerusalem. What does it say? On the Sabbath. Okay? And verse 16, guys, there were people from other towns that they had The Bible calls them victuals. That's talking about they had food that they would sell. They would have, the Bible says, different kinds of ware. Kevin, they would have products, stuff that they wouldn't want to sell. They say, oh, you want to sell that? You make a certain type of some kind of product that you want to sell, and you think people will like it. Maybe a bag that they would make, a basket that they would make, something that they could use in their farming. I don't know. All different kinds of things. You know what they would do? Say, bring it into Jerusalem. People will buy it. People are interested in it. Man, bring it over here. There's some good selling opportunities there. And they're doing it on the Lord's day there, and the people don't see any problem with it. This has become a common practice. Guys, God had told them, this day should be set aside for me. This should be a special day. But guys, they had disregarded it. And when Nehemiah shows up, listen, these guys are doing this stuff, and nobody raises an eyebrow over it. Nobody really cares. Nobody's concerned about it. And guys, it had become the common thing, the common practice. So what does Nehemiah do? Verse number 17 says, then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Guys, he shows up to them, sees what's going on, and he says, what are we doing? We can't allow this to go on. And he says, this is an evil thing that you do. You're profaning the Sabbath day that God has given to us. He confronts them passionately. Guys, he points it out. He's saying, we're not having this. Guys, could it be that in your life, maybe just recently, listen, you had listened to a certain type of music so long, you didn't even think, it didn't even bother you anymore. You just got so used to it. It was wrong, but it didn't bother you anymore. Kevin, we have guys from time to time, I wish it wasn't the case, but they've been clicking on stuff for so long, it's just the normal practice of their life. And then they show up to church, or they go to a conference like this, or we have something here. And you know what God does? God convicts you about it. He slams down your heart saying, this is wrong. Guys, it's the same thing that Nehemiah does. He shows up saying, what are we doing? We can't stand for this. We can't have this. Guys, I don't know. Maybe it was Brother Kenny last week, Brother Shirley, Brother Charlie. I don't know. But maybe you've been doing something in your life, and God, through his word, called it out through the preaching. And you know what God's saying? We can't have this, young man.
Yeah.
And God convicted your heart about it. He confronted you passionately. He pointed it out. Hey, guys, that's what needs to happen sometimes in church. Listen, when you come and you have some kind of disobedience in your life, through the word of God, we need to call it out and say, this is wrong. You say, Brother Tom, that doesn't feel pleasant to me. That's called conviction, guys. And it's good for you if you respond to it the right way. Okay, you understand? You guys listening today? You understand this? Sometimes God will call these things out. You say, you're just picking on me. No, no, no. It has nothing to do with that. It's that there's stuff in my life that's not taken care of, and there's stuff in your life that's not taken care of. And you know what we need to do? We need to ask God to help us step it up and become more of what he wants us to be. But you know, that's never going to happen, Ethan, if we avoid those subjects. It's never going to happen. Guys, if I'm not coming to church faithfully, but we never deal with that, I'm not helping you. If I'm not reading my Bible every day, but that's never talked about, that's not helping me. Guys, we've got to deal with it. We've got to address these things. And when Nehemiah saw this going on, he didn't say, well, let me just go pray in the temple that this will stop. Hey, there's times to pray about it. But you know what he said? I'm going to get out there and talk to these people and say, we can't do this, guys.
Yeah.
This is not good for us. So the common practice that had become in that nation, and then he confronts it passionately. Guys, do you ever feel that when you're sitting in church and the preaching's just pounding on whatever particular thing and you say, that's me, that's me, that's me. Guys, that's a good thing. That's not God picking on you. That's God trying to help you. That's God trying to build you up and to get you where he wants you to be. So he confronts it passionately. And then, guys, he calls it out provocatively. At the end of verse number 17, what does Nehemiah call the actions that they do at the end of verse 17? Can somebody find it for me? No, we're not doing sword drills. Yes, good job, Chris. He calls it evil. Now, Kevin, that's kind of strongly worded. I mean, Nehemiah, hold on. Let's rewind that. Did you misspeak? Did you kind of oversell it? Did you kind of get a little caught up in the emotion of the moment and kind of go a little dramatic? You know what he calls it? Evil. I mean, they're selling stuff on the Sabbath day. Is it really that big a deal? Guys, you know why often we don't change? Because we don't think it's a big deal when we're doing wrong. Well, you know what we want to do? Well, yes, I do this, but Kevin, there's a lot of guys that are worse than me. Hey, guys, if you're always measuring yourself against somebody that's not even in church or not even saved, you're always going to look good in comparison to that. Hello?
Yeah.
You're always going to look good in comparison to that. Guys, I can look at some of the people that I encounter with my job. Kevin, I always, well, man, every Friday night, these guys are getting drunk. They're lusting after every female that walks by, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I should be different than them.
Right.
But you know what? I can't always compare myself to them. I need to compare myself to God. And when I do that, guys, I got a long way to go. All of us do. That's not to be discouraging. That's just to get us on the right track. If we're looking at somebody else, we'll say, yes, bro, I am so much better than that guy. I'm basically perfect compared to him. Well, that doesn't help you grow. That doesn't help you grow. Guys, if you compare yourself on a basketball team to the worst player on the team, you're not going to get any better. You're not going to get any better. Hey, if I'm comparing myself to the worst student in my class, I'm probably not going to pass the class. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to aim a little higher than that. And you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to be like Him. And listen, guys, when we look at your life and my life, there should be a clear difference between us and the world.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Right? But guys, we need to go to the next level and say, Lord, I don't want to just be better than them. Because look, honestly, none of us are better than anybody. It's Jesus living inside of us. But you know what? We want to be more like Him. That's what it needs to be about. He confronts it passionately, and then he calls it out provocative. Guys, I'm sure these people that were bringing in stuff to sell and these people that were working on the Sabbath, when he said, this is evil and you've profaned the Sabbath, they're probably like, whoa, come on, buddy. Settle down, calm down. I get it. You were getting fired up with the preaching. It was emotional. No, guys, he meant what he said. He said, this is evil. Hey, guys, hopefully the stuff that's in your past that you've laid at the altar and left it there, hey, guys, do you look at it as evil?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, because a lot of people don't. They don't want to stand up to the truth. Hey, guys, if you're back-talking your parents, that's evil.
Yeah.
Amen. If you've been listening to some worldly, wicked music, that's evil.
Amen.
Do we believe that? Or are we like, nah, it's not that bad. George, if we think it's not that bad, watch it, guys. We're going to go back to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're going to go back to it because we realize if we think that it's that bad, we won't go back to it because we say, man, that's killing me. That's terrible for me. It's hurting me. But if we think it's not that bad, you better watch it. You're leaving the door open. So I may go back to that when I get tempted. He called it out provocatively. He said, this is evil. This is evil. This is evil. Guys, the stuff that we do when we disobey God, do we regard it as evil?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't want to. We want to downgrade it. We want to treat it as not that bad. But you know what was so bad about it? Verse number 18. Get this, guys. I'll read it, and then I want you to explain it to me. Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon the city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. What is he saying? What is he saying? Figure out what verse 18 is talking about, if you would, and let me know. What is he saying?
So he's like blaming God? Really blaming God?
God did bring judgment on them, but there's a little piece before that. That's all right. It's a good thought. Ethan, what do you got?
Is he asking, like, did you not learn your lesson from the people
there,
before you?
That's the piece that was missing. Good. Hey, guys, you know what he's saying? Our nation did this before. The commands of God, we disregard them, didn't care about them, we threw them out. Hey, guys, you remember what I said? When Nehemiah showed up, was the nation in good shape? You know why they weren't in good shape? Because they were off in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, guys. This was terrible. Chris, you know why God had to punish them? Because they disobeyed Him. So what is He saying? Are we going to do the exact same thing? I mean, guys, God was just in punishing us. And George, you mentioned this. God had to bring the hammer down on us before. But He's saying, are we going to do the exact same thing? Hey, guys, you know what He's saying? We've got to learn our lesson here. We've got to wake up. We've got to learn our lesson. We've got to get a hold of this. It can't just be that we repeat the same cycle. Hey, guys. Those of you that went away, or if you were here last week, or whatever the case may be, listen. If God called out something in your life that He wasn't pleased with before, and you went down to that altar, and you got it right, and you said, God, I'm going to leave this here. I'm going to change. Listen, can I tell you, when you get tempted to go back to it, the same way God wasn't pleased with it back then, He won't be pleased with it the next time either.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, guys, when it's emotion, and, hey, what was it? 2,000 people there, huge crowd, the music's amazing, the preaching's strong. Wow, this is awesome. I love this. Hey, guys, there's going to be moments when you're all by yourself in your room, and you got your cell phone in your hand, and you got a wicked thought in your mind saying, maybe I could click on this, or maybe I could listen to this, or maybe I could watch this video that I know is not right. There's no 2,000 people there. There's no amazing music. There's no strong preaching at the moment. But God is still there.
Amen.
We need to live for God as much there as we do with the big crowd around.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. Hey, guys, it's that important. He's saying, listen, are we going to go back through the same cycle? Are we going to repeat the same thing that they did before? Hey, guys, if somebody else walked away from God and it blew up in their face, do you really think you can walk away from God and it turn out well? Hey, guys, we need to learn from those around us. And I'm not trying to belittle anybody or pick on anybody. I just want you to listen. If you grow up and some people in your background and your family have dealt with alcohol and drugs and all that, hey, guys, you should learn from that. You shouldn't have to experience it and go through it yourself to realize. Listen, if they drank beer and it destroyed their family, do you really want to repeat that in your own life? Hey, I've seen guys that I used to go to church with, that I used to be brothers with, listen, and they walked away from God. And Kevin, you know what happens sometimes? It's because of money, or it's because of lust, or it's because of this or that. I don't want that to happen to me. It hasn't worked out well for them. Do I really need to follow the same path and say, it blew up in their face, but I think I can work it out myself because I'm smarter than them. Mm. No, I'm probably dumber than them the way I'm acting.
Right.
We don't want to repeat the same cycle, guys. He's saying, listen, our nation did this before, and what happened to them? God had to bring judgment on them. And you want to do the exact same thing again? Hey, guys, listen, I'm not trying to beat you up. And guys, when I yell and I get loud, it's not because I'm trying to hammer you down. It's because I get excited about what the truth is.
Amen.
Okay? So don't feel that I'm talking down to you, because I never want to do that. But you know what, guys? Listen, if you didn't read your Bible before New Manna, and you knew God pressed on your heart about that, and you've been working on that, listen, let's not go back to that same pattern of skipping our Bible now. That's what I'm saying. It didn't work out good then, and it's not going to work out good now. Listen, if you know a certain type of music that you were listening to previously was wrong, God laid that on your heart, you went down to that altar, you prayed with your friends, you left it there, don't go back to it. Because God wasn't pleased with it back then when you used to do it, and He won't be pleased with it if you start doing it again. The cycle of punishment. He's saying, man, our nation did all these bad things. You remember this stuff, the repercussions that happened. And he's saying, listen, we don't want to repeat the same thing. Kevin, if I make a mistake in my life, I need to have enough humility and wisdom to learn from that to where I don't go back and do the exact same thing again.
Right.
Guys, I've got to learn from it. I've got to learn from it. Listen, if I wake up and I neglect my Bible and I neglect prayer, and then, George, I show up here and I lose my temper on somebody and just cut them to shreds, I need to learn, you know what, Tom, that was pretty dumb of you. And what do you need to do to fix it? You need to spend enough time with God to where you get filled with the Spirit so that you don't just fly off the handle at a moment's notice. You need to get with God and have a soft answer, turn away wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, we've got to learn from these things. The familiar disobedience. Hey, guys, I hope that this is not the case. But is it something that you've done so long? Listen, the first time you click on porn, it's going to bother you.
Yeah.
But the longer you stay in it, the less it will bother you.
Mm.
The first time you listen to a song that you know is not right, it'll probably bother you. It'll worry you. You'll hope nobody's listening and nobody's around and nobody asks you, what are you listening to in your earbud? You'll be worried about it. But can I tell you, the fifth and the tenth and the 50th time, you don't care as much.
Yeah.
The farther you get into sin, the more bold you get.
Yeah.
Guys, it becomes more dangerous. And these people, I think the first time they sold stuff and they did these things on the Sabbath day, they're thinking, man, what are we doing? We know we're not supposed to do this. But after they've done it month after month and perhaps year after year, nobody really cares anymore. Hey, guys, is it that way with you? That you're so used to telling lies that it doesn't even bother you anymore?
Mm-hmm.
You're so used to talking to your parents a certain way, it doesn't even bother you anymore?
Mm.
The familiar disobedience. Guys, I hope that's not the case. Because listen, it didn't work out before, and it won't work out next time. I better shut this down because I have a lot more message and no more time. All right, so that's what's going to happen. We'll get back to it next week. Listen, guys, I just want to – let me finish up by saying this, though. Listen, I'm glad you guys went away to that trip, and I think it went really well. But, you know, the point of me preaching this is we want these things to last over the long haul. We want it to be 3 months later, you're still living for God. You're still keeping those decisions. Mm-hmm. By the way, I say this all the time. Some of you are going to turn me off as soon as I start into this topic. But you know a good way to keep yourself accountable with the decisions you made? Write them down. Mm-hmm. Write them down. Put it in your Bible. And every day when you open your Bible to read it, you're reminded of what God told you to do at the youth rally. You understand? That'll help you. That'll help you. And ask God to give you the strength to do that through prayer. But listen, we want you to keep these things over the long haul. My intent is not to beat you down. My intent is not to hammer you, hammer away at you. My intent is to help build you up. Because listen, guys. You say, Brother Tom, it was a great trip. I'm happy for you, man. I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for that. I've talked with George and Ethan, some of you guys, and you told me some things. I'm thankful for all of it. But listen, guys, you went to the altar. That's great. Hey, maybe you prayed to the Lord and you made some decisions. You left some things there, some things you need to stop. And maybe there's some things you need to start doing in your Christian life. You say, you know what? I'm going to get on it. I'm going to get after it. That's great, guys. You say, man, everybody was happy for me. When I came back to my seat, Brother Tuck patted me on the back and Pastor shook my head and said he was proud of me. And man, it was great. It was a great atmosphere, a great time. And we told these testimonies. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Guys, that's all good. But can I tell you, I'm not trying to belittle your decision. But just because you went to the altar doesn't mean the devil's going to leave you alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just because the music was really amazing at that moment doesn't mean the devil's going to leave you alone. Mm-hmm. Just because you had Brother Kenny or Brother Shirley sign your Bible, the devil's not going to walk up to you and say, oh, Brother Kenny signed your Bible. Excuse me, I can't mess with you. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, guys. And listen, I'm telling you, there's a battle coming at you. If you want to make it in the Christian life, listen, you've got to solidify these things. You've got to fortify these things. And guys, if you want 6 months from now to keep those decisions, a year from now, 2 years, 5 years from now, keep those same decisions, and you can, you've got to be ready for a fight, because the devil's coming back and he's going to keep messing with you. Bruce, he's going to keep coming at you. George, he's going to keep coming. Chris, both Chris, we got the Chris section over here. Listen, he's going to come at you. He's going to come at you and say, oh, you done with that music? Well, I know you still like the sound of it. Oh, you're not going to look at those dirty pictures anymore? Okay. And you know, the devil will pat you on the back too and say, oh yeah, you're good, man. You'll probably never fall again. And he'll get you proud and let your guard down. And then he'll get you when you're weak and you don't expect it anymore. Hey guys, we've got to watch ourselves. Why? Because we've made these decisions to get right with God. But I'm telling you, those things are hanging outside the gate. Mm-hmm. They're right outside. Listen, we've got to on purpose keep those things. And guys, you can. You can. With God's help, you can. You can look back as a 25-year-old man, a 30-year-old man, and say, man, I thank God for that trip that we took in 2023 with that crazy bus ride that we had and all the stuff that happened. Listen, you can look back on it and keep those decisions for that long. But you know what? It doesn't happen by accident.
Right.
And like I said, just because you made those decisions, the devil doesn't say, oh, I can't mess with them. I was watching the live stream, you know, the devil watching the live stream from hell. You know, he's like, no, I was watching the live stream. I saw him go to the altar. I can't touch him. He's got magic powers in him. That's not the way the devil works.
Right.
And that's not the way the Christian life works. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you made the decision. I'm glad you got right with God. I'm glad you decided to leave some things in the past and to move ahead. All things become new in your Christian life. I'm happy for you. You're doing great. But you know what? The devil says, yeah. We'll see about that. Mm-hmm. We'll see about that. Let's bow our head and close.